The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. It won't be long now. With spring officially here, the days getting longer, the air getting warmer, it will soon be time to cut the grass. I suppose that most of us would agree that green is better than gray and rain better than ice. But nonetheless, every season of the year brings with it its own peculiar challenges. And here in the Midwest, the coming of spring means finally, if you can believe it, to put the snowblower away, but also to bring the lawnmower out and get ready to use it. For it won't be long now. Now, times like these, when the seasons are changing, remind us visibly about the cycles of nature upon which we depend and of which we really are a part. For just as we rejoice now in the rebirth of grass and trees and flowers, we know that in just 5 or 6 months, whatever has escaped the mower or the harvester will be far along the pathway to the decay and death of winter. But what plants experience on an annual basis is also true of human beings. There is a cycle to life that begins with birth and always ends in death. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. And just as we mow down the grass as soon as it grows, so time and circumstances will cut us down and send us into the grave. In this respect only, then, are we different from the plant, and that is that we're conscious of the fate that awaits us. We recognize that death is coming. Of every newborn baby, there is always one thing that we know is true. This baby will die. Now, most of us, most of the time, just ignore this. Many try to delay it by diet and exercise and medicine. And when death begins to loom over us, the human organism is such that we fight against death with all of our strength. But inevitably, we lose. Death wins, for all flesh is as grass. So in this regard, too, we must all admit, it won't be long now. But what are we supposed to do about this? Through the centuries, that has been the great question. What should we do about death? And men have proposed all kinds of answers, most of them attached to a religious view or other. But I suspect that for many in the West, increasingly, the answer has become simply to accept it. Accept that man is a part of nature and will die. Now, that's an answer that is really no answer, but seems to be the best that modern man can come up with. An American writer of the 19th century, one William Cullen Bryant, expressed this point of view about as well as it could be in a poem entitled Thanatopsis. First of all, he describes death in unvarnished terms. Earth that nourished thee shall claim thy growth, to be resolved to earth again. And, lost each human trace, surrendering up thine individual being, shalt thou go to mix forever with the elements, to be a brother to the insensible rock and to the sluggish clod which the rude swain turns with his share and treads upon. That's it. A brother to the insensible rock. For modern man, death is just a return to an impersonal nature, or as the scriptures themselves describe it, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. But Bryant's response to this reality is interesting and perhaps typical too. For he tries to find comfort somehow in the fact that death comes to everybody, The youth in life's green spring, matron and maid, the speechless babe and the gray-headed man shall one by one be gathered to thy side. And then he concludes simply by urging his reader to accept it. Approach thy grave, he writes, like one who wraps the drapery of his couch about him and lies down to pleasant dreams. It's good writing. But what a desperate philosophy. However optimistically framed, Bryant's response to death undermines any form of human significance or human achievement. Just think about it. What is the point of anything? Good or bad? Pleasure or pain? War or peace? Life or death? When all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. What is the point? And to this question, the modern world can say nothing. Absolutely nothing at all. For man needs to hear a voice that is louder than his own. A voice out of a tomb. The voice of an angel, he is not here. The voice of God, I am the resurrection and the life. The word of the Lord that endures forever. And as St. Peter says, this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. But is a word, any word, enough to counter the death that confronts us? When we see the grass withering, or the corpse of a loved one entombed, how does a word, even the word of the scriptures, overcome that reality? What makes this word anything more than Bryant's Thanatopsis? Now that's a fair question, and a man is right to raise it. But the answer that we give is also fair and more than enough, for the word of the gospel is the word of the Lord who not only speaks but also does. In fact, his speaking is a doing, and the word of the resurrection is the deed of resurrection. As St. John reminds us, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. And as St. Paul assures us, and last of all, he, the risen Christ, was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. Now the Lord Jesus died, that's for sure. His disciples saw it. But the Lord Jesus also rose again, that's also for sure, and his disciples also saw that too. And they touched him, and they talked with him, for Jesus Christ was alive. And therefore, this answer to death is different from all others, for it is God's answer, not man's. And that means it's real. That means it's true. Because it is God's answer, this word of the gospel has continued to exercise power among men through all the centuries since that first Easter. Power to forgive sins through the crucified and the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Power to transform sin-filled lives by the presence of Christ's Spirit. Power to offer consolation and comfort and strength in the face of death. Power. Now there's another poem about death that I like. This one's written by John Donne, an Anglican clergyman, lived a couple of centuries prior to Bryant. He wrote from an entirely different point of view. Death, he wrote, death, be not proud, though some have called thee mighty and dreadful, for thou art not so. For those whom thou think'st thou dost overthrow, die not, poor death, nor yet canst thou kill me. Why swellest thou then? One short sleep past, we wake eternally, and death shall be no more. Death, thou shalt die. Death, be not proud. Death, thou shalt die. Now those words may be the words of John Donne, but the word, the promise, is God's in Christ Jesus to us. So let's remember this spring, always, that the grass will wither, the flower of the field will fade away, but the word of the Lord, the word of life, endures forever. Amen. And now the peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.